Mike is, I knew him back in Young Life when I was helping get Urban started. There was about four, five, six of us started, got it restarted in 95. And so got to know Mike there and really, really appreciated and valued him and loved to see what he's done here in the ministries he's got with the young people. Because I'll tell you, the stress level since the information age and the problems people are having due to being overwhelmed or distracted is incredible. It's just incredible. And I had some statistics I was going to put in here about how incredible it is, particularly young adults. I mean, it's serious. So I applaud Mike and the Lord through Mike trying to help y'all get some peace. And my talk today will be a little bit, well, it'll be more than a little bit, but about how you can gain more peace and have more success in life. And I think that probably registers to everybody in this room. I was talking to a good friend of mine about we're trying to take over another camp in New Mexico and turn it around, and man, has it got problems. But my wife was with us, and we'd flown out there, and this other guy that was kind of taking the lead, and Darcy said, "It just doesn't feel very peaceful." And he looked at us, and he says, I don't really ever try to figure out whether something's peaceful or not, and I'm sure I don't convey peace to the person people I'm around, because he's a pretty big mover and shaker. But background, just a moment, a paragraph or so of me. Background is, in when I was 36, I was under severe stress. I obviously some of it was the real world, but a lot of it's just because of who I was, burned out. I hit bottom, and there's three reasons. One was the fact that I was a people pleaser. One was the fact I was an overachiever, and one was the fact that we'd sell in our business, and I caught my false god. I didn't know it was my god, and that was money. And you're not supposed to catch your god. That doesn't register too well with you. And so I just hit bottom. Out of that, I became a Christian. And out of that, I did a bunch of heavy therapy trying to figure out why I was like that and how to get rid of that. And I felt blessed through the Lord to really do some deep, intentional therapy and get through that process. So peace and a deliberate process to be profitable was what I came out of. So when I started Texon 24 years ago, I said, don't get a phone system more than 15 people, because that's it. I'm going to try to make $1 million or $2 million a year and spend the rest of my time in therapy. And based on my experience, not to tease about that, and just in ministry and giving back to community. And as it grew, and I got more comfortable and whatever, but I started the company with my number one goal to only work 40 hours a week. So as a founder, and all my money, no outside money, with that philosophy, it lasted 10 plus years. Until we sold a couple of our big divisions a couple of years ago, we were running at $7-8 billion in revenue annualized that year. So it needless to say, I got a little more comfortable and had many blessings and made a lot more money than I ever dreamed of. But so I just wanted to give you that background that I've had my turn in the barrel, and I've had my problems in life, but my wife stood by me. We made it through that, and now I've been married 44 years, and just been a blessed experience. She might say a little different than that, but anyway. So I've got these what I call Christian secret weapons, because most Christians don't do this. Most Christians don't believe some of the things I'm going to say, or don't practice it, and yet I'm convinced totally that it'll make you more money and have more peace in life. So both those are at least to get your attention. And the first one is to keeping your life and your business simple. Do I do that all the time? No. Do I believe it really increases your success? and prophets? Yeah, it does. And I'll try to give some examples and explain it. But and we all know Jesus called for us to have a simple life, and he clearly led one. But we discount him because of the day and his age and information age and fast pace. So we tend to discount him in that regard. But and I ask, have you ever heard the statement, the good is the tyranny of the bad, the good is the tyranny of the great? And I've had a definition of passion. I don't know where I got this, but doing God's calling of what is great, not what is good. I believe if you don't keep your life simpler than what it would be if you weren't deliberate at it, you won't be near as strategic, you won't have near the time to think, if you can strategically think, you'll just make more money and take more time around it. And you'll tend, as you go too fast, you'll tend to do good things rather than great things. And we all know strategically setting the great things, which takes longer time to pan out, but you'll just end up in a better place versus doing, and that's in ministry too, versus spreading yourself too thin. So one of the things, I do two things that are pretty mechanically simple to do, and I learned these on myself. One is, when I have an idea, and I tend to be kind of an idea man, I'm an intuitive I don't do anything with that for a week. I put it on a calendar a week ahead. I don't even pray about it. I just put it, I just roll it forward. And because if it's God's idea or one worthy, it'll still look good in a week. I didn't say a month. And I'm telling you, I don't even bat 50% of wanting that idea in a week. So I don't even bat near 50%. So just think how and what damage I could do to my company and to the people that report to me if on Tuesday I got a good idea and try to meet and get them to do it all this. It's embarrassing how many of my ideas don't look good in a week. And that, by definition, allows you to have a simpler life. And the other one I learned out of default was if someone asks you to do something, ministry or whatever, family, whatever, say, I'll give you an answer in 24 hours. And it's amazing how much more objective you get 24 hours later. And I typically want to say yes out of pride or want to help people, you know. It's just natural for me to want to do that. But it's amazing how objective. One of the ladies that's our VP of HR in my office, I was telling her about that. She was overwhelmed. She's a strong Christian, and so I told her about that. About 3 months later, she came back to me. She said, you didn't tell me these people at the church, when I told them no, that they would that they'd get mad. I said, oh, yeah, they do routinely. But I said, and the reason is they've got an agenda. They're going too fast. They've got too much stress. So if they can pass it off to the next person, a lot of times they don't care really whether it's right or wrong. I mean, that's an overstatement, but they want to get rid of it. And by waiting 24 hours, I'd get a sense of just objectivity. And it's I've been doing that for 20 plus years. And the weak thing, I don't do it as much as I used to just because I've gotten older and a little more mature, but hopefully I have. So I think that's two things you can consider. So my secret weapon is accepting my weakness in all things in regard to the Lord. It's being, another way it says, being dependent on the Lord in all things. You know, if you really can get in the habit of doing that, which sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, man, the clarity you get on what you're supposed to be doing is amazing. Jesus said in John 5:19, I can of my own self do nothing. Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. And so then he says in John 15:5, apart from me, Jesus, you can do nothing. Well, I guess so. If he's saying he can't do it, you know, he's got to rely on the Lord and his Father. And then God said in Psalms 127:1, unless God builds the house, the builder labors in vain. So, and we all know successful non-Christians. The question is, are they laboring in vain? Are they accomplishing, you know, things that matter rather than just getting more money? And, you know, I've been giving half my money away since 98. So it's 15, this is my 15th anniversary. And so I like making money and have done a pretty good job at it. But man, you just don't want to wake up on the rocking chair and say, you know, what I did didn't really accomplish much. One of the, I have a personal saying I made up on my own that just trust myself. The devil loves me playing God, little g. Thinking I always know best. So being weak or dependent is seeking God's direction, even where we think we're real good. That's when I tend to not lean on Him because I got this down, you know, and I'm good at it. But you know, compare His wisdom to mine. I don't even know how to scale that. It's not even scalable, is the truth be known. And so just keep remembering that Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. Then Paul quotes Jesus in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. And here's the amazing part, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So if you choose to be weak in your approach that you know everything, you get His perfect strength. I'm going, holy mackerel. And it has, you do that over a course of 10, 20 years, the best you can, as often as you can, the results are incredible. They're just incredible. Around peace and truth and relationships. You know, when you start getting older, you really start getting in your soul that relationships is kind of everything. Family, friends, sharing, challenging, obviously the Lord. So this just helps you. So these first two items are secrets, if you will. It leads into the third one, and that is to figuring out how to discern God's will in making a decision about a big issue. Most of us want to do that, Christians in particular, obviously, but don't really know how. And don't have really the faith that you can get the answer from the Lord about big decisions. Well, He blessed me with what really is kind of a simple process in getting peace that I'm doing His will. And 20 plus years ago, and I've just realized I've never told anybody or shared it with anybody ever till a couple years ago. And one of my Young Life buddies or ex-Young Life guys, I said, okay, I think I can say this in 2 or 3 minutes, and you tell me whether this is lunacy or heresy or whatever. And so I've been trying to perfect how to convey it to people. And the first key thing, and I'll explain more on this, is you have to become indifferent or neutral in what you want compared to God. Now, you're going to have a preference of what you want, but you ultimately have to decide you want His will more than yours. And where people stop is they just don't, you know, they'll throw up their prayers and whatever, don't get a sense of it. So I'm going to start with what George Mueller, a 19th century English professor known for strong faith, what he said around this. I seek at the beginning of figuring out a decision to get my heart in such a place that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. You can have a preference, and I'll give an example in a minute. 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is here. You got your own bias, your own will, and you really want it more than the Lord's will. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our heart is ready to do the knowledge of what His will is. And I'm going to tell you, I've been doing that with all our major decisions in Texon for 24 years. And as I look back, best I can remember, all our major decisions we've made have turned out fine or good, whatever word you want to use. Only one, and I got an answer from him, what to do, this one business. And I got an answer to keep it simple. And it's probably the clearest answer I've ever gotten all my all my going to the Lord on this. And it was keep it simple. And I kept it simple for about a year. And I was frustrated with it. And so we started putting all kind of, getting in all kind of businesses around it and whatever. And it's probably cost me, I don't know, $5+ million easy. Just to be not keeping it simple. So that's the only one when I was going over this speech, the only one I can consciously remember. Basically, it means you want to do His will more than mine, and He loves you more than you love yourself, and He sees the future, and you don't, even though we think we do. That's the lunacy of it all. And He really does love us more than we love ourselves. I mean, the verse, I think it's Psalms 37:9. I apologize, it's plus or minus a few. Delight in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. One of our big problems, so you say delight in the Lord, that means different things to different people, but this is the creator of the universe says He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's incredible. The problem is most of us don't even know what that is. You know, so that's where the life process comes along. So here's the mechanical part that I feel that He's blessed me with. And maybe He'll bless you with the same. Maybe you've already figured out a good process. I believe intuition is one of the many blessed gifts from the Lord. I think He gives it to non-Christians. Christians, it's indifferent. It's just a gift He's given us. Like I tease about, He gave us the gift of what we're gifted at is also where we're usually most joyful. What if He'd done it the other way around? How miserable would we be? But He gave us this intuition. So I believe if a non-Christian gathers facts and acts on when his gut is peaceful, on that peacefulness and acts on it, which means doing a deal, not doing a deal, what happens there is, I think that non-Christian would be would bat well in excess of 50% of the time if he just seeks facts and waits to his gut is at peace. And I've had it go all kinds of ways, all kinds. I backed out of deals the day before that I never could get to peace until I woke up that morning and got peace. So if you're a Christian and you're praying to do His will, along with getting neutral and indifferent to yours, I think you're a fool not to go with your gut. Now, let me try to explain a little more. There's a difference between head and heart, gut feeling, and say you had to fire somebody. Well, you're alone and you're at peace that you just need to do this. But amazing, right before this happens, what happens in my head, is due to fear, whatever, pride, whatever, I start rationalizing why I don't need to do it. The morning of, I need to fire somebody. You know, he's not that bad, and it really worked out. Maybe I just got to work with him more and all that kind of stuff. So don't get confused when your head is throwing you all these fear things. When this gut is peaceful, you need to act. You're really crazy not to act. Let's see what else here. So I'm trying to. And another thing that happens to you when you're not neutral or indifferent. By the way, that sometimes takes me weeks or months because of my own self-interest to get neutral or indifferent. But so what happens if you're not neutral or indifferent to want His will more than yours? You will have a filter of information. And we'll use the example of firing a person. If you want to fire him, but you're trying to verify that you should, when somebody agrees with you, you elevate the status of that, if you want to use that word. And when somebody disagrees with you, you diminish. If you got this filter going, so you diminish the negative versus increase your positive relation. So what happens is you don't get the truth. Your mind and soul does not get the truth because you're biased. So you got to get unbiased to see the truth, from hiring somebody on a board to whatever, hiring this person, not firing or whatever. That's where you make mistakes if you don't get neutral or indifferent. I was going to tell you about, I've not been following my notes very well. No, here it is. Okay. I often call them Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which is kind of an unusual verse, but it's kind of one of my foundational verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Now, how weird is that? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He will make your paths straight. I can't tell you how many times in the middle of the night I've said that verse to myself. I had a friend recently ask me, well, if you had a great business opportunity that you got to decide in 4 days, what would you do? I said, well, if I didn't get peace in 4 days, I would absolutely, positively wouldn't do it. There's always deals. There's always deals. But a bad deal just sucks the life out of you. I'll give you one example I'd taken out of here. When I started Texon 24 years ago, it's the first time I'd ever started a company on my own. I'd been minority owner of another company where I got enough money out of that company to start this one. And about 6 months into the company, we were covering our overhead except for my salary. And two guys in the industry, crude oil business, came to me that were successful in the business and wanted to join me as employees. And they'd bring all their business and we'd be instantly profitable. Well, this is the first time I started my own company. So I had a lot of fear to some degree and pride to not being successful, not becoming successful. But I took it to the Lord. The problem with them is they were high volume, low margin guys, therefore high maintenance. It had been a lot of money to me in a fairly short order. And I ended up crying because, you know, I wanted to succeed so bad. I cried over it because I had to turn them down. And it was another good year. It was a year and a half before we became profitable. It was another good year of grinding, you know, when I could have had this instant temporary success. Again, God loves me more than I love myself, and He sees the future and I don't. Well, one of those two guys went to work for a public company here in town that y'all know the name, he got to doing trades that went south. He started hiding them. He lost them well over $100 million and went to jail. So, and I couldn't take a cash hit like that, needless to say. So just goes to show you, you know. Now that next year wasn't all that fun, not making a profit, but it is what it is. And so here's Jesus, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking God, do I really have to go on that cross and be crucified? He said it in Matthew 26:39, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Meaning, he had a preference, but not to the degree of overriding what the Lord wanted. And clearly the Lord said, nope, you got to head that away. God's will is always best. I'm just telling you. It isn't like to me turning down those two guys. It isn't necessarily fun short term. It's like discipline. It isn't fun short term, but we all know discipline is whatever the subject is, good long term. So I try to give you that mechanical deal about intuition. And the other things, it gives you incredible peace when you feel like the Lord gave you the answer through that process or whatever process you've got. It's incredible peace to not look back. Just not look back. No matter what happens short term, just don't look back. So in closing, one other comment I had here was that in negotiations, it's effective as all get out. Because when you're doing it, you don't really know if the Lord wants you to have that deal or not. Because He can see the future and you can't. So in negotiations, you really confound the other party because you're such at peace and he can't hook you or get to you or talk you into things that, because you're too desperate, talk you into things that you shouldn't be doing. And it really confounds them that you're that peaceful or hang loose or whatever, not, you know, it's not hang loose, but whatever the situation is, and you'll end up getting a lot more out of those deals than you ever would the other way, in my opinion. So in closing, I'm going to give you, I think we'll have time for questions to me, and then I'll give you a question or two you can take to your table and talk about. I think that's, Mike says, what y'all normally do. So I'm just going to repeat the three real quick. Is a challenge each of you around each of these weapons. So in simplicity, consider putting an issue or an idea off for a week, or try just not saying yes. I tended to always say yes versus no. Just wait 24 hours. Just give some it'll increase the odds of it being the right decision a lot. So then being weak or dependent, you know, look for something, process where you can apply that his strength will be made perfect in your weakness. What a gift. And those first two weapons help you on discerning God's will for, I tend to say on big subjects or big deals, because it takes me a while to get neutral, or it just does, you know, all my sin or whatever. And so it's just like, well, it just is. You don't have time on smaller decisions to do that. But so just try that intuition thing and get neutral. You'll have a more peaceful life and be more successful with whatever it is. So before I read you all the three questions for your table that refer to this, for you to kick around any one of them, y'all have any questions for me? Yes, sir.
How did you balance your professional career, your family life, and your spiritual life?
I'm still looking for that. I've got grandkids now, and I really don't have a good answer for that. It's you got to learn to delegate well. We were talking about that here at the table. You just got to learn to have people you trust. I had a young man ask me. He said, "I don't think I'm a good delegator." I said, "Well, you got good people reporting to you?" He said, "Well, no, not really." I said, "How do you know? You can't delegate to people you don't trust." And I stay busy. I've got like three ladies working for me just to keep my personal life simple, and helping my ministries, my investments, like individual investments. I love them because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a deal junkie. I've just made a decision in the last 3 months that I'm no longer going to consider an individual investment, you know, with a person or a new deal or a new business. It's a lower priority to me than family relationships. It's a lower priority to me than ministry giving, because I invest a lot new ministry, or not new, I've got too many old. I give to, I'm pretty much a significant giver to 20 or roughly 20 ministries. So they want to see you. They want to get you to introduce them to people. They want their help, and they want your money, and they want to keep you informed. I keep narrowing what I give to. I just keep narrowing. I thought just saying Christian was good enough, and it's not. I keep narrowing my purpose. I've figured out my purpose. Like my church, I'm obviously pretty active in my church, or have been, and we're looking for a new pastor, so they wanted me to maybe be on nominating committee, and I've got a purpose and a statement, and being on the nominating committee for a church, which is something I've always wanted to do, isn't in my purpose. The blessing is, as I turned it down, disappointed, I really wanted to do it, turned it down, because you only have so much time, and they meet every week. And they were 7 months before they started talking about a pastor. A lot, honestly. And so I just made sure that a couple people I really trust were going to be on that committee. And 7 months, they never talked about a pastor. They're about 8.5 months into this. 18 months. I'd have died doing that. So the purpose statement helps me. I don't need any more money, and for sure. So I've had to cut off one of my fun things, and that's doing little investments here and there. I've had to narrow my scope on giving and simplify my investments, just big picture, because my giving could be a full-time job, my company could be a full-time job, my investments really could be a full-time job, and I want my family relationships. We make every birthday of all my grandkids, 5 grandkids, 3 of them in L.A. I've been out there a week, last week, trip-sitting them so their parents could get away to restore. And we do that every year for that daughter and her husband in Houston. We got daughter and husband here do that. We go to every birthday out there of theirs since they've been born. We've been doing that 1 week a year deal for 10 plus years. We go with Thanksgiving with them. We go July 4th with them. Go hunting with them, and I go skiing with them. So he's good, real good friends with my son-in-law and my daughter, for that matter, and stays with them often. And when he goes out to doing his blessed thing of discipling and keeping up with all these young people, so you just pray and work and keep narrowing down. So any other questions?
So with all those things that you just mentioned, do you still go by that 40-hour week rule?
No, I kept it. What my 40-hour rule was while my kids were at home, and I didn't even, I tried not to travel, tried to do no breakfasts and no dinners in business, because I said, see, the largest deal, I'm either going to trust the Lord. I felt like I could function at 40 hours a week and still be a good father. And then if the company didn't work, I figured I had to work 50 plus being an employee somewhere. But I decided that's what I needed to do. So I lost track just after the girls went off to school and college and all that. I lost track. But I don't know. Probably counting ministries. It's counting ministries. I probably spent a third of my time in ministries. And probably 60 hours a week. I don't know. I really don't know. But but I'm usually at peace with it. That's the key. And so I was losing my peace, clearly. And so that's why I had to cut out those kind of investments and just park my investments. And I said, I don't even really want to let these ladies that work for me, y'all manage all that stuff. I don't want to manage that anymore. So ultimately, I'll give all that away. So we need to we need to honor the Lord and do a decent job at it. And most employers wouldn't even let you work for them if it's 40 hours a week. I'm just amazed at what the public companies expect out of their people. It just blows my mind. I talked to CEO of a public company, big public company. I said, "You treat your people like equipment. When it breaks, you get another one, or when it finally needs to be oiled or whatever." I said, "You treat them like equipment." He looked at me and went, "He's really a nice guy." He goes, "Yeah, you're probably right." And I hadn't met a CEO of a public company yet, which is not that many, that absolutely feels they're losing the battle in life. The time that they have to spend with the analyst and travel and all that, it's unbelievable. Matter of fact, most of them believe you can't last, if you're Christian and you really want to try this, about 3 years. You're kind of toast after that, because it will. My deal is, who's in control of my company, me or it? And I've gone through seasons when it controls me, and then that's when I know I gotta change it up. So Mike asked me to, unless there's another question, Mike asked me just to, so y'all could just visit a little bit, is three different questions around those three approaches. Is one, do you think keeping a simpler life really will allow you to be more successful? Because most people say, okay, I kind of hear it in my head, but getting that in my soul, I had to go through a lot of pain through burnout before I got that in my soul. Another one is, how can you be more dependent on the Lord in business? And another one to consider is, do you think getting neutral or indifferent with the Lord increases success and peace, or do you not? Because you kind of have to decide those. It's like Bible verses. If I've got it here and not here, not much happens. And I can read a Bible verse. You can just throw me one and I can tell you whether it's here or here, and the odds are it's here. It usually takes pain or time or the Holy Spirit, obviously, to get it to where it starts confronting me. Memorization is a good way to start getting it here, where you can call on it. So anyway, that's enough of my yakking. So thank you, Mike. All right.